We continue our learning with Nishmaster of Ibanach Mishnah Micham Yachab, Pirchas Elio, and Rechoras Paragways, Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah also was learned in Maseches Chulin. It's the mirror image of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah we spoke about where an animal had a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, and then you were makdush to the Beis HaMikdash. It does not have now inherent Kedusha because it had a mum. In our Mishnah, we're speaking about where Kol Shekadam Hegdeshan Es Mumam. Here, the mum did not exist yet. You were makdush it as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And only then it developed a mum. Omum over lehekdeshan, ula achar mikano lehemum kavua. Or let's say it started out with a mum over, and then you were makdush it. A mum over is one that's going to heal. And you makdush it, so that should have inherent kedusha. And only afterwards it develops a mum. So a mum kavua. And then viniftu. Then you redeem these animals. So pturin min habachora. So in the previous Mishnah, we said, well, once you redeemed it, because they did not have inherent kedusha, so there's chiyuv of bechora and matanos, and you can shear them and work them, etc. So here, although you redeem them, it doesn't help. Redeeming them after when they already had inherent kedusha. They had Kedusha Saguf, so then Pturim and Abachora. If they give to a birth to a Bechor after you poured them, that animal, that offspring is not Kedush, be Kedusha Sabachora. Why not? So when we learn Maseches Chulin, we quoted the pasuk in Devarim Yud Beis, which says the following: Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achal tovasar. Through nevertheless, when your soul desires it, b'chol avas nafshecha, you can slaughter and eat meat. B'kiver kasa Hashem Elokecha Hashem asan loch b'chol shorecha hatamei v'atamor yochulenu. You're going to eat this meat like the meat of a deer and the meat of the gazelle of the heart. So what is this pasuk talking about? So we have a masorah that this pasuk is referring to what type of meat? Meat from an animal that was given your makdash to the Beis HaMikdash, and it had inherent kedusha saguf, and subsequently it now developed a mum, and now you can't. It's not fit to be brought as a karbon. So that's what the pasuk is speaking about, and it says that what can you do? You can redeem these animals and you can eat them. V'achal tisbach, v'achal tavasar. But what does it say? Katzi v'cha'ayal. The Torah compares these animals to the deer, to the gazelle, and teach us what? Just like the law of Bechor does not apply to these animals. Why? Because these are wild animals. These are chayos. They're not behemos. And the din of Bechor only applies to tzon and bakar, only to domesticated animals. So if the pasuk is speaking about, according to our tradition, speaking about animals that had inherent kedusha, and then they were redeemed, and it's comparing them to Tzvi V'ayal. So just like Tzvi V'ayal don't have the din of Bechor, so to these animals that developed a mum after they had Kedusha Saguf, they also don't have the din of Bechor. And that same reason, Umen HaMatanos, these animals, yes, you redeem them and you're allowed to eat them. The matanos that the Zroah L'chaim L'keva that are normally given to the Kohen do not have to be given to the Kohen. Once again, because matanos are only given by people who are what do you have to slaughter? An ox or a sheep or a goat. And this says we're supposed to compare these animals to Tzvi and Ayal. Well, Tzvi and Ayal, the wild animals, don't have the halacha of giving matanos to a Kohen. So to these animals that had Kedusha Saguf and now were redeemed, do not have the din of Matanos, just like they don't have the din of Bechor. Ve'enon yotzim l'chulen ligazezu l'heaved. And as opposed to the previous Mishnah where we spoke about after redeeming the animal that had only Kedushas damim, only monetary Kedusha, there you're able to shear them and work them. That's not true over here. The pasuk says, lo savod b'vchor shorecha v'lo sagos b'chor tzonecha. You're not allowed to work the b'chor of your ox. You're not allowed to shear the b'chor of your tzon. And although this pasuk mentions b'chor, that we assume that this iser of lo sa'avod, not working a b'chor shorecha, not shearing b'chor tonecha, is not only b'chor. It's any animal that was physically sanctified, given to the Beis HaMikdash, and now, even after you redeem it, it's going to be usur b'gizah v'avoda. That's based on the pasuk that the pasuk says, tizbach v'achalta v'asar. That was the pasuk we quoted before. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha, tizbach, you're allowed to slaughter it and eat it. So that implies you're allowed the animal that had kiddushas aguf and you redeemed, so you're allowed to eat it, but allowed to eat it, that's all you're allowed to do. That implies that even after you redeemed it, you're not allowed to work it, you're not permitted to shear it, so it's only limited to slaughtering it and eating it. And that's all you're able to do when it comes to these animals that had kiddushas aguf that were redeemed. Uvaladan v'chalavan aser, and the offspring and the milk is going to be aser. That's also based on the pasuk tizbach v'achal tavasar. You're allowed to slaughter it. These animals that had kiddushas aguf, and now you redeem them, you can slaughter them and eat them, but you're not allowed to use them for any other purpose. So therefore, you can't use the offspring. You can't drink the milk. You can't work it. You can't shear it. And then the Mishnah says v'achar. Again, after you redeem them, it doesn't matter that you redeem them. You're still not allowed to have the milk, you're not allowed to have the vlad, you can't work it, etc. As opposed to the previous Mishnah where we said if you shecht it bachutz, you're going to be pater. Shechitas chutz only applies to an animal that it has kedushas aguf. So here, you're going to be chayv for shechting kachim bachutz. And so the only question is, why should that be? It's true it had inherent kedusha, but now it developed a mum. If it developed a mum, then I can't bring it as a carbon anyway. So why should it be chayiv kareis for shchutei chutz if it was speaking about an animal? Then anyway, well, I know it had kedusha saguf, but in the end of the day, you can't bring it as a carbon, and you're only chayiv for shchitas chutz for something potentially you could bring as a carbon. So we mentioned when we learned chulin, we said that the type of mum it developed it regarding this halacha is the dokin shebaayin, is the cataracts, and according to Rabbi Akiva, he holds im alu lo yerdu. If you have that type of mum and you put it on mizbech, you don't have to bring it down. And therefore, since according to Rabbi Akiva, that im alu lo yerdu, with that type of mum, a very light mum, if it were placed on the mizbech, you wouldn't bring it down. Therefore, if you shecht it outside, even after you pod it, you're going to be chayev kareis for shechting outside, because this is an animal that is roi lemizbech in the sense that if you put it on the mizbech, you're able to keep it there. Nonetheless, we don't follow Rabbi Akiva. Anything that's not royally karev bifnim inside, if you shecht it outside, you're going to be putter. Va'os and tamura, these animals, where once again they had inherent kedusha because you amakdish them before they developed a mum. They're after your this is true even before you poda them. They are osin tamura. If you transfer the kedusha to another animal, they remain kadosh, of course, and the other animal becomes kadosh. V'mesu, and if they die before you poda them, yikaveru, they have to be buried, because, as we mentioned, you're not allowed to be poda kachim in order to feed them to your dogs. And therefore, we would not allow you to use them for yourself. If they die, they have to be buried. Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet. A little bit of an introduction. We learned already in the first Mishnah that if a non-Jew has some type of partnership with the Jew and an animal, so there's going to be a ptur from Bechora. That's based on the concept known as Yad Nachri Ba'emsa. The hand of the Nachri is in the middle, literally. He's involved somehow. Once he has some type of share in the animal, it's ptur from Bechora, if it gives birth to a Bechor. This mission now says that there are times where it seems that the animal belongs to a Jew, and therefore, and the Nachri doesn't seem that there's any Yad Nachri Bamsa, and there still will be a Ptur from Bechora, and that's because the Jew becomes responsible financially to the non-Jew even after whatever type of transaction that they have with one another. That responsibility, that achrais that the Jew has towards the non-Jew, means that if he doesn't pay up, the non-Jew may be able to collect something, and that ability of the non-Jew to collect means he still has a share, and is still involved. There's still a Yad Nachri Ba'emsa to some extent, and therefore there will be a Ptur from Bechor as well. What is this case? HaMekabel Tzon Barzel Menanachri, says the Mishnah. A person who's Mekabel, who receives animals as tzon barzel. Tzon barzel, we may mention, remember from Ksuvos, where there's certain where the woman brings into the marriage nichse tzon barzel. Tzon barzel means iron sheep. Iron sheep means that the property is going to endure. It's going to be it's a great deal in the case of the tzon barzel when it comes to the marriage. And in this case, tzon barzel, it's that iron sheep in the sense that the non-Jew will be able to collect what he needs to if based on the rules of the transaction, something happens where he potentially would lose out, he can go to the Jew to collect. So what's really happening here? So we're talking about a Jew who gets a herd of animals from a non-Jew, and the goal is there's a fixed price he's going to pay, but not at one time, over a certain amount of time, let's say 10 years, and the Jew is responsible for that payment, and that would be true whether the animals get sick or they die or whatever it may be. That's nechsei tzon barzel. That money, or that's tzon barzel, that's iron sheep, the sense that the non-Jew is going to get his payment regardless of what happens. So the animals can depreciate in value. They could die, they could get sick, it doesn't make a difference. And not only that, what's going to happen from the offspring born from the animals? So they're going to be divided amongst the Jew and the non-Jew. So here is a makabel tzon barzel menanachi. Now these tzon barzel are now the Jews really. But he paid for them, but he only paid partially. There's a stipulation to pay a certain amount of money. So velados pturin, the halacha is the offspring of the original animals that the Jew took as part of this arrangement. They are going to, so says the Mishnah, they're going to be pater from the halachos of Bechor, which means when these offspring get older, and they now have their own children, so those Bechorim are not going to be subject to the halachos of Bechor. So the Bar Tanura says like this, what do you mean, Vildosa Pturin, Mina Bechor, Valdosan shall Osan Son, Shikshayigdul of Yifkru, Vivakru, Yifturun Abachorah, those offspring. The offspring of the tzon barzel that the Jew has received, when they get older and they have children, so those children will be pater from Bechor. They become from the halachos of the Ilo Yoyev Zuze the Nachri Tafas Bema. Why is that? Because if the Jew doesn't give the money to the Nachri, then he can grab one of the animals. Vilo mashkach behema. And if he's not going to take one of the original animals, toughest vlados, he'll take the offspring. Ishtach t'shaycha yad Nachri bevlados. So you see the hand of the Nachri is shaych even the offspring. And therefore, hilchok vlados bechoro, sheyu la'oson vlados p'tus ben bechoro. So the offspring of the once again, you have the fixed animals that he bought. And now they get older. So when they have a firstborn, so the offsprings of the animals, original animals would now give birth to an animal, the bechor of that animal that it gave birth to, there would be no chiyuv of bechor, because the non-Jew can come and collect. So the non-Jew has the rights not only to the animals that were part of the arrangement that he sold to the Jew, but the first generation of the children that they have. So that's why, so therefore the non-Jew has some rights to it, and therefore there's a ptur of Bechorah. Uvla de vlados chayavin. But this which the non-Jew has some chelik in, that's only to the original animals and the next generation of their offspring. But the third generation of animals, so that much he does not have the right to, and therefore those animals, there would be a chiyuv of bechor. So therefore, if the third generation animals now have bechorim, the fourth generation animals have the status of bechorah. Hemid velados tachas imosein. So, but if they literally, if he put the, stood up the velados tachas in place of their mothers. So what we're saying is like this. The part of this arrangement, there's no need for the Jew to make any type of condition, any tanai, that the non-Jew is going to have a chelek in the share of the offspring from the original animals. That's automatic. So what happens in this case, the Jew says, you know what, I'm going to give you another generation. I'm going to say, you know, you're going to have the power to collect from the offspring. That assumes that you're giving an extra generation to the non-Jew more than what would automatically be part of the original arrangement. So therefore, Val de Velados, Psurin, see, now he has a hold on, the non-Jew has a hold on the third generation of animals. So therefore, even the fourth generation offspring are going to be potter from being given to a Kohen. Uvalade, valade, valde, valados chayavin. But, so how long does the non-Jews hold? That's only as far as the third generation. So that means that the females of the fourth generation they have no claim. The non-Jew has no claim to them, those mothers, those cows. So therefore, they will give a Bechor status to their offspring. So that means the fifth generation Bechorim have to be given to a Kohen. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer, no, afilu ad asar doros pturin. He says, all generations of offspring from the original animals do not have the halacha of bechor, their potter. We have this type of arrangement, makes no difference whether the third generation, fourth generation, and it's not really 10, literally, it could be beyond, it's forever. We assume the non-Jew has the chelek in all of this. In the end of the day, the Rav Shimon Gamaliel believes that the non-Jew has a hold, has a lien on all the animals that are born that from the original herd, from the original animals that were given. It doesn't matter what generation is. And why? Because if the Jew doesn't pay up to those 10 years, doesn't pay whatever the price was, so he, the non-Jew, is able to take any of the animals that he would like. There's some debate whether Shimon Gamaliel is speaking about the original case of the Mishnah, meaning any type of arrangement, either way you have at Asara Doros plenty of time and this Pturim from Bechorim. And others claim, no, it's only in the case of Hemid Velados Tachasi Moseim, only where the Jew says, oh, you know, I'm going to give the offspring in place of the mothers, and I'm going to stipulate specifically that you're going to be able to take an extra generation. Once you say that, maybe only there does Shimon Gamaliel say that since there's achrayus to the nachri, and this was specifically stipulated, do we say that you have arasara doros and beyond?